Without laughter, life on our planet would be intolerable. So important is laughter to us that humanity highly rewards members of one of the most unusual professions on Earth, those who make a living by inducing laughter in others. The entertainers I write about in this study are not necessarily the best, or even my personal favorites, though some of them are. They're simply those concerning whom I find myself with something to say. An important difference between the humor of the 1990s and that of half a century or more earlier is that today's humorous material is largely performed, whereas in the old days, most of it was designed to be read. In the 1920s, although there was humor, of course, in vaudeville, the humorist saw himself continuing the tradition of comic literature, following in the steps of Mark Twain, Artemus Ward, Bill Nye, or Josh Billings. The mushrooming popularity of radio toward the close of the 1930s produced a sharp change in the styles of American humor. Young men who discovered within themselves an ability to create jokes and sketches began to dream not of writing the great American comic novel, but of becoming rich by devising, however anonymously, jokes for Betty Cantor, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Edgar Bergen, Burns and Allen, and other popular comedians of the period. As a result, the mainstream of American humor flowed out of the realm of literature and into the business of assembly line jokes. Some of the individual witticisms produced were quite the equal of epigrams conceived by the earlier humorists, but the totality of the new work, because it was mass-produced, was for the most part briefly enjoyed and then discarded like yesterday's newspaper. Another cultural influence in American humor was the long change from vaudeville, via radio and motion pictures, to television. In the 1920s, a fledgling funny man started in obscure theaters, usually doing something other than comedy to get his foot in the door, acting, juggling, rope twirling, dancing, singing, playing an instrument, and then spent years in relative obscurity perfecting his craft and looking forward to becoming a vaudeville headliner or moving to the legitimate Broadway stage. Television became important as of 1950 and happily introduced what was truly a golden age for American comedy. Jerry Lester, Milton Berle, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, Sid Caesar, Lucille Ball, Jackie Gleason, Red Buttons, Jack Carter, Martha Ray, Joan Davis, Sam Levinson, Wally Cox, George Gobel, Arthur Godfrey, Phil Silvers, Ernie Kovacs, and myself, among others, presided over a wonderfully creative and happy decade for practically every type of performed humor. I find funny people endearing company, despite their sometimes personal inadequacies, and all of us should be profoundly grateful that they exist. Old and young, the professionally amusing men and women, and the anonymous humorists who provide material for most of them, bring much laughter into our lives. I don't know who the young fellow was back in the 60s who said, "Don't trust anybody over 30," but he's an old fellow now, so let's not listen to him. Whatever his age, his advice was absurd, and certainly makes no sense in the context of humor. Today's young people, in addition to laughing at Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, also still laugh at Groucho Marx, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, the Three Stooges, George Burns, and the other oldsters. That's nice.